Welcome to the podcast of ideas. I'm Rob Lyons. Over a month has now passed since the UK voted to leave the EU, yet the controversy over that decision continues. Attempts to delay the invoking of Article 50 include an attempt at legal action by lawyers and a call from former newspaper editor Baroness Wheatcroft for the House of Lords to delay any act of Parliament. The new Prime Minister, Theresa May, repeats the mantra that Brexit means Brexit and has appointed pro-Brexit ministers like David Davis, Liam Fox and Boris Johnson. Yet there is no firm timetable for invoking Article 50, with a variety of suggestions coming from the government, ranging from the end of this year to sometime before the general election due in 2020. What does all this mean for Britain's relationship with the EU in the future? Will the democratic outcome of the referendum be thwarted? To discuss this, I'm joined by Rob Killick, a leading figure in a new campaign group, Invoke Democracy Now, that is pushing for the departure process to formally begin. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
What do you think of the vote to leave, first of all?
Well, I think now that a month has passed, and we can see that while it was very clearly a vote to leave the EU, I think we can also see it as almost a referendum on the political establishment. And that referendum went very badly for the political establishment, that despite the fact that they enlisted virtually the entire global political elite, the cultural elite in this country, the intelligentsia, the majority of business people as well, that they could not connect with the fears, aspirations and needs of a majority of people in this country. You know, people talked about the democratic deficit in the EU, but I think that the referendum revealed a massive democratic deficit in this country, a disconnect between the political establishment and the majority of the people here, which has created a very interesting new situation.
I mean, do you think that this is the start of a new democratic moment, or it's just a single one-off protest vote, or is it all up for grabs?
No, I think that it's revealed something that already existed, that this democratic deficit has existed for a long time, you know, and it's been discussed for a long time, the fact that the political elites are distrusted and disbelieved by large numbers of people. So really the referendum has revealed something that already existed, but also exacerbated it, because it's very clear that there is a disconnect now, and it's very hard for the establishment to deny it or ignore it.
So is Brexit really under threat? I mean, the government, both those who argued for Remain and those who were campaigning to leave, now seem solidly behind Brexit. We have Theresa May trying to reassert that point every 5 minutes. Would the other parties really try to block it? Is the government going to start backsliding, or you know, is there any likelihood of a success in the courts for legal action?
Well, you can't rule anything out at this point. I think there are too many moving parts, both at home and in Europe, and it makes the future very hard to predict, as always. But I do think that if you stand back and take a look at what the balance of forces is, there, all the major parties, including the government, are made up of Remainers, other than UKIP. Most of the media are in favour of staying in Europe, and as we know, large sections of the what we could call the intelligentsia and the cultural elite. They are not under any pressure to proceed with the Brexit process any faster than they wish to. So that creates, I think, a very interesting scenario, because they're not going to turn around and say we disregard the result of the referendum, if only because they recognise their own disconnection as a result of the referendum, right? So they know they're not in a position to just ride roughshod over the referendum result, and that's why after the initial kind of spasm of emotional release, which the Remainers expressed in a rather embarrassing fashion for a lot of them, that's all died down now. I mean, there are the legal kind of stuff that's going on, and there's a kind of background noise, a call for the second referendum. But I don't think that represents the mainstream view within the pro-Remain camp. I think the pro-Remain camp now, they want to shut down discussion about this. I would describe it as they've taken it in-house. You know, they've created mechanisms which look as if they're going ahead, while at the same time, power resides within the pro-Remain camp. And I think that's very clear. You can see through the manoeuvrings that are going on within the government now. The people like Liam Fox and Davis, while appearing to be the figureheads, in fact are really powerless up and until the point where Article 50 is triggered. And I think that the strategy of the government is going to be to do as little as possible for as long as possible, hope that events, you know, take their own course and they can find reasons for delaying it as long as possible and making it as a kind of Brexit light. But I don't think they have a clear plan. I think this is just the way it is, that they know they're under pressure to do something, but they don't know what to do at the moment. So I think in that situation, unless they're under pressure to do something, they'll do nothing.
So what's behind Invoke Democracy now? What have you been doing, and what's sort of your outlook on the issue?
Well, you spoke earlier of a democratic moment, and I think that's very good description of what happened. You know, it was probably the most significant democratic moment in this country for generations. You know, the people spoke and the people came up with a very clear answer, which is we want to leave the EU. Now, the problem with the democratic moment is that it is a moment. What happens next is really open to a certain extent to what people like us do. And when I say people like us, I mean people who are not part of the Remain camp, or who, even if they were part of the Remain camps, think that democracy should be enacted. So I think that constitutes a majority of people in this country. And I think these people are not represented, or they're certainly underrepresented, in Parliament and in the media and in other parts of society. If you look at the political parties, they've all seen a big increase in membership since the referendum, which indicates to me that there is a general increase in interest in politics. How far and how fast that can go, I really have no idea. But I do think it's important that the people who voted to leave and the people who believe in democracy need a better and stronger voice than exists at the moment. And that's why myself and others have started the campaign for Democracy Now. We think that there is a gap, and we aim to help to fill that gap.
I know you've had some public meetings, but are you planning anything else at the moment, or is it just are we still in the kind of development stage?
I think we're in the pre-campaign stage. I mean, there's lots of discussions going on about what we should be doing. There are obviously lots of other people who could and should be involved in campaigning for the Leave vote to be enacted. The Leave campaign itself shut up shop the day after the referendum, and it basically went on holiday. And I think that was very unfortunate, because what that meant was that the response to the referendum was largely framed by the Remainers. Even the fact that there's been no real discussion about the need to invoke Article 50, and that there's a general acceptance and assumption that this is something that's going to take some time, is an indication of the weakness of the Leave campaign, because the Leave campaign should have been on the front pages the next day saying the decision's been made, let's do it. I mean, what's the delay? Mm-hmm. You know, there was nothing in the referendum question that said we want to leave the EU in 2 years' time or 5 years' time or 10 years' time. The decision was to leave the EU, and they should have left the EU the next day. That's the way, you know, that would have been the best result, and then deal with all the other questions afterwards. They're having an easy ride. We have to understand that the people that run our country have far more in common with their counterparts in European capitals and in Brussels than they do with the people who voted to leave from Yorkshire and everywhere else around the country. They will drift back in that direction if they're allowed to.
What do you make of the argument that's been put forward by some prominent writers and bloggers who are pro-leave, but say that actually this is actually much more complicated than simply just invoking Article 50 leaving a club we've been part of for more than 40 years is not a straightforward process, or that, you know, if we invoke Article 50 now, we'll kind of end up shutting down the debate. It'll end up behind closed doors in the negotiating rooms of Brussels. Voters will be sort of excluded from that process. What do you make of those arguments?
I think it is already happening behind closed doors, and voters are already being excluded from this. The government has made clear that they don't want a second referendum and they don't want an early general election. The last thing they want to do now is to expose themselves even more to democratic scrutiny and pressure. So I don't think that argument really stands up. The question of whether or not Article 50 should be invoked now, I think, or whether it shouldn't be, and I've had this argument with lots of people right across the spectrum of leavers, not just left-wing people, but all kinds of people, and there's a kind of consensus, unfortunately, is that they're confusing the issue of democracy with tactics. We have to keep the two things separate, and it's important to connect to the democratic impulse that the referendum represented. It did something new in our politics. It gave power to the people in a way that they haven't had. And the longer that result is denied or delayed, the more cynical and the more depressed and demoralized the Leave voters will become, because they expected something to happen, quite rightly. You know, the government said, we will do what you tell us to do. And we've told them, we want to leave the EU. And we haven't left the EU. So there's already a problem. The real interesting discussion is not with the people who voted Remain, because we know what they think. The problem is that the Leave people are now divided into what I would call hard leavers and soft leavers. And the soft leavers are really doing the job of the people who don't want us to leave the EU, because they're finding lots of reasons why we shouldn't be giving notice to the EU. Now, personally, if it was me, I would tell the EU, we're leaving now. Dear EU, we're leaving, signed the UK. And then, you know, we will start the negotiations with them when we think we're ready and we know what we want to do. But the two things are not necessarily connected. I don't believe all this timescale stuff. There are no precedents for this, right? It's no good people saying, well, this clause says this and there's a timescale, all this. In reality, these things will be decided by politics and political will and political power. So I think that delaying the invocation of Article 50 only plays into the hands of people who don't want us to leave.
Well, I suppose a parallel discussion that has to go on really is about what Brexit should look like. As you said, there's a potential for a sort of Brexit-lite where we formally leave the EU, but in many respects things stay exactly as they were before, through to complete departure, not quite pulling up the drawbridge, but a very sort of clear demarcation that, you know, Westminster is now completely and utterly sovereign. So what do you think personally Brexit should mean?
Brexit means the repatriation of power to the UK Parliament. Absolutely. All power back to the UK Parliament, and then the UK Parliament, as elected by us, can decide what to do. Now, I don't actually have any particularly strong views about what our trading relationship or I have personal views about it, but, you know, that I don't think that's really the important issue at this point. The key thing is the repatriation of powers. Now, what kind of deal we can then negotiate over trade or immigration or anything else is really then a political matter. As we all know, a question of interests and power and everything else. But anything less than the complete repatriation of powers would be a reneging on the referendum result. So I think that's completely unacceptable. The form that our future relationship takes with the EU or with the rest of the world, I think, is a secondary, important, obviously very important, but secondary and separate issue.
So how do people find out about Invoke Democracy Now?
Well, we have a web presence. If you look on Facebook and Twitter, there's a lot of activity going on there. there are local organisations springing up. There are already organisations in Scotland, in Yorkshire, in the Midlands, and in the south of England and in London. There is a lot of opportunity for people to get involved on a local level. This is a decentralised campaign, and we can provide speakers and we can provide other material resources. But it should be easy to connect to. The only thing that you have to accept to be part of our campaign is that we're going to leave the EU.
Okay, that's brilliant. Thanks very much for coming in, Rob. If you've enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to hear more, please visit instituteofideas.com/podcast, where you can also subscribe to our podcast feed. Thanks very much for listening.